Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Get ready. It's time for a big exclusive with Valerie Denise Jones.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I know. I am not Valerie Denise Jones, but I am CeeLo the Great. And we do welcome you to another edition of Big Exclusives. It is 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Big Exclusives, we are live and we are going at it. So with that being said, Valerie, she can't talk right now, so why don't all you people out there, all our loved ones, why don't you all go ahead and send her some love, some cyber love. Why don't you go ahead, be in the comments, get in the comments. Reach out to her on all her social media platforms at Valerie Denise Jones. So, yeah, she's up under the weather, can't talk right now, but she's still here. She's listening. She's watching right now. And so you all get in that chat room. You all get on social media and show her some cyber love right now. Yes, with that being said, man, shout out to all our international callers who are calling in, who are tuned in. We really appreciate you so much for tuning in. Also, like I say, all the ones in the chat room. Chat room, very important. You all get active right now because Valerie is under the weather and she can't talk, but she can type. So y'all go in there and show us some love right now. Hey, so check this out, man. We got a great guest for you today in the building with us. So we're just going to go ahead and get started. Welcome back to Big Exclusive. This is CeeLo the Great. Again, Valerie Denise Jones. Here's a little under the weather. That was $2. And that last $2, I believe, then that was by our guest, Mr. Joey Gilmore, the Joey Gilmore Band. So before we bring him in, this is what I want to do. The story of the blues began in northwestern Mississippi in the late 1800s. It was initially a folk music popular among former slaves living in the Mississippi Delta. The Delta is a flat plain between the Yazoo and Mississippi rivers. With the great migration of the black workers that began around that time, the blues spread around the South and the rest of the United States. So, with no further delay, let's welcome to the show Mr. Joey Gilmore of the Joey Gilmore Band. Mr. Gilmore.
Hello, 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 folks. How you doing?
How you doing,
How's
sir? It's great. It's great to be here, man.
I'm sorry?
I said it's great that you're here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to be here as well. Great to be here. And
I heard that little introduction.
I'm sorry about that. I heard that little introduction about the blues, and that was some history that I didn't know. Thank you for that.
No problem, sir. No problem, sir. And that's what we're here for. I read a little bit about you. And this is what got me about you. You being from the blues, and I want to say this too, to all my listeners out there. Mr. Gilmore has a title that I would like to read at this point before I get into his backstory, and then we'll let him give it to you himself. But Mr. Gilmore, you all, has a title that he has, and is known as the best unsigned artist on the planet. The best unsigned artist on the planet. Now, your story got me, Mr. Gilmore, because me reading up on you, you started in a barbershop, a local barbershop, and you learned how to play the guitar, electric guitar, from being around the barbershop, from a barbershop owner who was a minister at the time. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. You give us that backstory. You got it. Let's get it.
All righty. This barbershop in my hometown of Groveland, Florida, I was a little kid, used to going in the barbershop and getting my hair cut on, I think he cut hair on Wednesdays. And Saturdays, those were his 2 days. He traveled from a nearby local town, about 5 miles up the road from us, a town called Claremont. And he brought this guitar with him, and in between haircuts, he would sit down and try to learn how to play it. He was practicing, he was learning himself. And this little guitar fascinated me. I mean, it was an electric guitar, but he didn't have an amplifier. But he had in his shop, he had some wooden benches with the armrest on the wooden benches, and the floor of the shop was wooden, and the resonance vibration from the wood that I would lay across the arms of the guitar would resonate, and it made that little thin guitar, wooden guitar. It made it sound like it was plugged up to an amplifier, just from the resonance of the wood. And of course, with me being a little kid, I was so fascinated by the sound that it made until eventually I played around with it every chance I got, and I learned a little more each time. And then when my aunt, I was raised by an aunt, she was a church going lady, and that's all we did was played in the churches. We didn't didn't dare go anywhere else and play or try to go anyplace and play. And one Sunday afternoon, a gospel group came in from out of town, a nearby town, a town called Lakeland. I think they were from Lakeland. We were singing in the church, in our little church group, and they asked us to come up and sing and play a song. And she didn't, now at that time, she didn't know I could play. And I borrowed one of the guy's guitars, one of the guy's other singer's guitar, and I played a gospel song, me and my little gospel group. And it brought her to tears. She was just so happy and rejoiced to hear that I could play a guitar. And she went out the next day and bought me a guitar, a Sears Roebuck model.
Wow. Wow.
And she, wow. And that was the rest. The rest is history. It was been uphill ever since.
Wow. So from going, getting the guitar from Auntie, you got the guitar, you playing. So now you shared the stage with a lot of greats. Just to name a few: James Brown, Etta James, Bobby Bland, Little Milton, Johnny Taylor, and the list goes on. So how did you go from that moment, church, Auntie putting that guitar, buying you your own guitar? What was that journey to get to the stage of the James Browns, the Etta James, the Bobby Blands, the Little Miltons, the Johnny Taylors, and the numerous of other people you have shared the stage with? How did you go? What was that journey like? Tell us that story.
Okay, we'll take that bridge a little bit further across. As a result of learning that I could play guitar and her going out and buying me the guitar to play, well, we formed a little trio, a little band in our hometown, and I think I had to be no more than 14 years old, and I had my drummer, and we all were the same age. We had a drummer named Johnny Griffin. We had another kid from Claremont by the name of James Jones, and he played bass. And we all got together. And as another surprise, when my aunt, being the church going woman that she was, she discovered that we had a band. And we could play, and we could actually, she would take us around in her station wagon. She had a Chevrolet station wagon. She'd take us to the little bars as our chaperone, and she found out we could make some money at that. And we made money. People would come up and give us tips and throw money in the tip bucket, and we made quite a nice little haul on the weekend. On weekends, and this grew from that experience with the band, and we kept getting invitations to play this place and played proms, and I mean we were just like, they were so proud of us in that little town, so they gave us all the support we needed. And then the closest town that's nearest us, the good sized town, was Orlando, Florida, and we used to go back and forth to Orlando and play, and we got a lot of exposure from different radio personalities and promoters, and they put us on different programs. We even got a chance to be the backup band for Solomon Burke during those years. And we went from that to when I finished high school, then I migrated. I went to Miami, and that's when the big ball started to roll. I got a chance to play with a lot of famous stars, because I got in with a band as a member of the band. That's another story in there too. This was a very popular band around Miami, a band called Frank Williams and the Rocketeers. They had won several talent shows, and at that particular time, they had sent for me to come play with them, because my brother-in-law used to go down he lived in Miami, he was a Miamian, and he told them about me, that I was a guitar player, because they were looking for a replacement for a guy by the name of Ted Taylor. Ted Taylor, I don't know if you remember any of his recording or if you know anything about him, but he was a very big star back in those days, in the early, early to mid '60s. He had some hits out. Be Ever Wonderful was one of them. To make a long story, to shorten the story a little bit, they were looking for a bass player, because the bass player that Frank Williams had at the time went to play. He was going on the road with them, and they needed a replacement. Frank Williams needed a replacement for his bass player leaving. And, of course, my brother-in-law told him that I played guitar. And they didn't know at that time, in those days, the electric bass guitar was a new item, you know, because during the early 50s and 60s, all they used was the big stand-up bass, the big old. So when the new Fender bass came into existence, it plays just like a guitar. And if you don't know the history of the guitar, between a guitar and a bass, on a bass guitar, it just looks like another guitar you're playing. And one is a bass and one is a guitar. So the confusion was, they thought my brother-in-law told them I played guitar, and they said bass guitar, they didn't know. So when I got to Miami, they sent me a one-way bus ticket. I got to Miami, and when I got there, they realized that I was not a bass player. I played guitar, but unbeknownst to me and them also, I would practice. I would take my guitar, you know, the top four strings on your guitar, the ones on top, are the same as the top four strings on a bass guitar. Same strings, only difference is they're bigger and thicker, so they get a bassy sound, a low bass sound. So what I used to do with my guitar when I lived in Groveland, at home, I used to just take my guitar and tune the strings down so they would sound low, get on a lower octave, and then I would put on my record player and I would learn all of the bass lines in the song. Mm-hmm. I'd learn every bass line of every song. Then I didn't know, but I was learning how to play bass and didn't know it at the same time. So when I got to Miami and they presented me with a job of playing bass, well, I said, okay, it's a challenge. And I took the challenge up. They went out and bought me a brand new Fender bass, a Fender bass guitar, jazz bass. And I had 3 days to learn how to play it. So I went upstairs and I played, and I sweated all day long, day and night, until the night of the show. I came on and I played it like I'd been playing it all the time, and they were so pleased with it. And then I at the same time, well, I'm a little ahead of myself on my story. I'm also a drummer. I played drums in high school, and then with my experience with playing with different bands, I played drums, I played bass and guitar, and sing. So I was a pretty valuable piece at that time. Every band needs a bass player and a drummer and a guitar player and a singer. So I had all the bases covered. Mm-hmm.
Well, and even back then, like right now we're living in 2019, and back then what's enlightening me is that something that doesn't change is being not being one-dimensional. And when you are not one-dimensional, then you are more valuable because you do more than one thing. You have more than one skill, more than one talent. And so that's what I'm taking from that. Even back then, you having more than one skill allowed you to be a valuable piece of a band that you just, you know, became a member of, you know. And,
right.
And your work ethic. Also, they went out and bought you a brand new bass guitar to learn. And your appreciation and your passion for what you did allowed you to get with the program, sweat
That's
it
right.
out, work until the point where it came showtime, 7 to 2 hours, showtime. Now
okay.
you've been playing it like you said. I didn't miss a beat. You've been playing it like I've been playing it all my life. And true enough, you have been playing it all your life based on what you were already doing at home. You used to convert
exactly.
your electric guitar because, like you stated, the first four strings are just like the bass guitar. So you used to tune yours down to get that bass sound, to get that lower octave, and practice as if you were for a bass because an opportunity was going to present itself, meaning that you were already prepared for the opportunity that you were presented, which allowed your career to eventually take off. Is that correct?
I couldn't have expressed it better myself.
So now I'm interested in how did Mr. Gilmore get discovered by his first great? Because you didn't work with some greats, many greats, James Brown, Etta James, Bobby Bland, Little Milton, Johnny Taylor, and many more. So what was
please add Benny Lattimore to that list, would you?
Benny Lattimore.
Lattimore. Let's straighten it out. That's the man,
yes.
Benny Lattimore. Now, and the reason I interrupted you and asked you to add his name to it, because he read one of my bios a little while back, and I used to be his backup band. I used to be the backup band for him for about 2 or 3 years, and he was kind of a little bit hurt because I didn't mention his name in the interview. So I said I made a vow from now on, whenever I say anything about any artist, I'm going to mention Benny Lattimore because we do have a very good rapport. Good history, the two of us.
And for the record, we're going to add Mr. Benny Lattimore. Shout out to you, wherever you are, Mr. Lattimore. You are now, you know, getting your homage paid to you by Mr. Gilmore right here on Big Exclusives. So, again, back to that question, Mr. Gilmore. Who was the first great to discover Mr. Gilmore and utilize his great talent?
I would say a gentleman by the name of William Bell. And I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he was a songwriter from Stax Records, songwriter and a producer, record producer. And as a matter of fact, William Bell actually was my manager at one time. He was my recording. He was my recording manager. He was my personal manager. He was my booking agent. And I think basically my coordinator, and then, you know, as you may put it. But he was in one of my recording CDs that I recorded, Can't Kill Nothing, that's the title of the CD. William Bell and I are on the back cover, a picture of the two of us. But he was one of the first ones when I got into the realm of actually playing with stars, people that recognize it. And he had been one of my inspirations for many years before I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And William Bell was located in Memphis, Tennessee, because I believe Stax Records is in Memphis, which is my hometown.
Oh, Memphis is your hometown?
It sure
is.
Oh,
that is wonderful news. Okay. Yeah, William Bell worked at Stax, but he actually lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Now that's where he's living now. I'm almost sure. I would pretty positively say that he's from Memphis.
Right. So this is what we're gonna do. This would be a great segue to go into a music break since you brought it up. And we're going to play that Can't Kill Nothing right here on Big Exclusives. So y'all sit back, hold on tight, because we're getting ready to get into this Can't Kill Nothing. Mr. Gilmore, why don't you go ahead and introduce Can't Kill Nothing. You got it. Let's get it.
Okay. Can't Kill Nothing and Won't Nothing Die.
Interested in what you have to say about our live broadcast. Please share your comments on our Facebook page or website.
Indeed. Welcome back. Welcome back to Big Exclusives. That was Can't Kill Nothing by our guest, Mr. Joey Gilmore of the Joey Gilmore Band. Mr. Gilmore, are you still with us, sir?
I'm still here. Thank you.
Now, I must say, me being from Memphis, Memphis being my hometown, we all know, and if you're from Memphis, we all know W.C. Handy. And if you look up the name W.C. Handy, you will find out that W.C. Handy has the title of the father of the blues. Now,
that is
I bring up W.C. Handy because you have a title that I introduced as the best unsigned artist on the planet. Now, in January of 2006, you won one of the most distinguished and internationally coveted awards in all of the blues, the IBC. You outscored all artists worldwide while showcasing your amazing talent at a blues industry event, earning you the title of Best Unsigned Artist on the Planet. In 2008, you was awarded the Bluesy Award for Best Song, Blues All Over You. In 2015, you was honored with the Latin World Talent Lifetime Achievement Award. And right now, in this present day, 2019, you're continuing to soar in your craft. Now, the blues, what I just heard, reason why I brought up W.C. Handy, the father of the blues, because that sound, that real blues sound, the stories of the blues are real stories. That's why they call it the blues, because they're real stories. A lot of them, people will say, it's sad. But listening to you, sir, listening to your songs, listening to the music in the songs, listening to the delivery of the song, I have to give you your props. I have to pay homage. I have to join in and everything that I have read, and say that you are the blues. You are the blues. And,
yes,
and just
sir.
Listening to this, you are a breath of fresh air, because the blues is a genre that everybody respects. It's one of the forefathers of genres. So now, being that we have the blues, Mr. Gilmore, let me ask you, all the songs you have done, everything you have done, have you ever had any songs taken from you, any songs taken from you and recorded by A-listers that has never been identified or never been given proper homage? You getting your proper notoriety for anything you have done?
Okay, let me see now if I can revamp that question, because I'm not quite understanding it.
So let me ask you this: Have there been any of your songs taken by any A-list artist and recorded that you did not receive credit for?
I don't know how I'm gonna answer that now. Hold on a second. Have there been any songs that other artists recorded that were my songs, but I didn't get credit for that? Because
you had an idea, and before you can record it or before you can get it out on mainstream, A-list artist who was already out, who already has a name, recorded it. and got credit for it and didn't give you your proper credit for it.
No, fortunately that's not the case, because let me tell you a little history about my songwriting ventures. Now, I have, in my earlier days of recording, I did a lot of arranging, musical arranging, like putting the music track to songs and helping them out with the lyrics to get the songs out. And I didn't realize that that I was supposed to get credit and pay for that. I didn't realize that until late in my recording career. Then I said, why ain't I getting no, why don't I get no royalties or residuals from these ventures? And then they said, well, because you didn't register yourself as the one that do it. Now, I have a lot of records that I have recorded. I have a whole slew of albums and stuff. I think the total about 11 or 12 albums and stuff that I recorded with my voice on there, and I didn't get paid for them. I didn't get any royalties because I didn't either have a contract or had bad contracts that weren't handled properly. So, but that's basically the case in the music business, because the objective of most entertainers or most people, that's why today it's a whole lot different and a whole lot better protected than what we went through. We were so eager and so anxious to record and get on shows that we didn't care anything about whether we were going to make royalties or not. All we wanted to do was be on stage and perform. Mm-hmm. And then we got ripped off for a lot of stuff that we did and didn't get paid for. But that's water under the bridge now. And hopefully we're looking forward in a forward direction now instead of looking back on things that happened.
And I asked that question because, like you say, nothing has been taken from you as far as your compositions, but you were in the room putting your input mm-hmm. in, arranging some classic albums, some songs that you mm-hmm. didn't get residuals for because you didn't have the knowledge at the time to mm-hmm. register with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC as a producer, executive producer, uh-huh. composer, whatever the case may be.
Or a contributor. Or a contributor to the venture. Yeah.
Right, to the recording. So,
I'll give you another
time. Go ahead.
I'll give you another a major example. The NBA just recently, I think it was this year, it was a few months back, they were running a big ad about the game that they were going to be having, some kind of tournament or something. And they called it the but the theme for that was that thing was "I Got a Thing for You, Baby." I don't know if you heard that one. Mm-hmm. They were using a recording by a guy by the name of Percolator, Mr. Percolator. And me and my band was the one that recorded this song with me and Mr. Percolator. It was an international promotion with that song playing in the background. We never got a penny for it. I mean, it was international, major. And if you look it up, if you can find it, on it was the NBA, and it was a few. back. Wasn't that long ago.
So let me ask you a question, Mr. Gilmore, not to cut you off, because this is very important. This needs to be discussed because we have a lot of aspiring artists listening. This is very important. This is business 101. That's why it's called the music business. All right, so when you recorded with Mr. Percolator, your band recorded that song, I Got a Thing for You, Baby, right?
Right.
Were you all paid when you showed up during the band to record the song? Did you receive a stipend? Did you receive anything for recording that day after the session was over?
No. No, we didn't receive. The only thing we received was like the nothing in writing. Producer at that time was a guy by the name of Willie Walters. He passed away quite some years ago, and he was the one that brought us and Mr. Percolator. Mr. Percolator passed away too. The only thing we got was, I think they gave us like $25 or something for the session, for the recording session. So we didn't know that, you know, that at the time that if we had a contract or signed something that we could have gotten residuals or royalties from it. We didn't know that. We were just
right.
That's what I
wanted to bring up. For all those aspiring artists who are out there right now. See, when you showed up, you didn't have the knowledge that you're supposed to sign a split sheet for what we're doing, okay? So back then, it's okay, my band showed up. How much is my band going to get on the back end? What they did instead of cutting you in on the residuals and writing you into the money because they didn't want to split the money amongst the band, obviously, that was totally obvious. What they did was use a term in business called work for hire. What they did, instead of cutting you into that, they labeled you as a work for hire, gave you $25, said that you was paid for your work that day, $25, everybody got $25, and now they take the rights to it, and now your work gets distributed, and they get all the residuals and the royalties off of it because now you have become a work for hire.
So, exactly.
This is why young people, young artists, this is why you have to study the business first. You have to study the business first. It was going on back then. It's still going on now. There's an expression, a term that says there's nothing new under the sun. So
exactly.
You better learn it now. Learn it now because, like Mr. Gilmore said, to his defense, that was back then. 2019, there's no excuse. There's Google. There's the internet. Read. Learn. Get in the books. Because there's no reason why nobody in 2019 who is aspiring to be an artist should be in a bad deal with all the knowledge that is afforded to you for free. So, with that being said, Mr. Gilmore, what are you doing presently? And what do you want to do? What do you want the people to know about Mr. Gilmore? And what do you need help with right now, presently, if I may ask you that?
Well, if there can be anything gained or put together for the music that I have out now, I think my last recording is about 2 years old. Now, if there's anything that can be done promotional-wise to get some of my music back into the music stream, the mainstream of the music world, then that would generate work for me as an artist to go on tour and do things, and then I can go in and record another project, which we're working on now as you speak. We are going in tomorrow to talk to some people about doing another project, a recording project. And my current manager, who's in the studio with me now, Mr. Flynn Mobley, and I've been we've been kicking that around, and it's gonna start taking shape tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you a question, sir. The band members, yourself, guitar, vocals, Robert Hi-Hat Carter on bass, Maurice Dukes on drums, Sonny Boy Williams on keys, and Dottie Kelly on vocals. Is the band still actively together? Has any of these band members been replaced? What is the current status of the band itself?
We're still playing. We're still doing some festivals and nightclub entertainment. As a matter of fact, I have a horn section added now. So it's and it's instead of the five people that you named, we have an additional three-man horn section. It's called the Night Train Horns. And, they when they were added to the, everything just like blew up to unimaginable sound. The band is just off the chain now. Well, we always had a good standing and a good following, but the addition of the horns just put it in another category.
Okay.
And
so
Robert Miller is our horn section leader. He plays tenor saxophone, and we have trumpet player is Manny Lima, and we have a baritone sax player that doubles on alto sax, and his name is Keanu Reed.
Okay. I sound similar to the actor, Keanu Reeves. But you said
okay.
Keanu Reed, R-E-E-D, correct?
Right. Uh-huh, Keanu Reed.
Okay. That's great. So any touring, where is the band actively touring? Any tour dates coming up? If so, what can the listeners, all of our loved ones out there, what can they expect you at?
We have, our next venture is this coming Sunday, we're playing the Bahamas Benefit Relief Fund, Charity Fund Relief Benefit, and that's in Miami, South Miami, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay.
And
that's in Miami, correct?
In Miami, right. At the Elks Club. The Elks Club in Miami. South Miami. The Elks Club in South Miami. First one we got. The next one, big event, was going to take place at it's called the Dunedin Brewery in Dunedin, Florida. That's going to be a festival event, and the band is going to be there. That was our next November. It's November 9th. No, I'm sorry. It's November 8th. No, is it? No, it's the 9th. We got it right. It's the 9th. Because November 8th, I'm at Rips in Pompano.
Okay, so this Sunday, you'll be in South Miami at the Elks Club performing live for the benefit for the Bahamas Relief Fund. That's this Sunday. this Saturday in South Miami at the Elks Club. And then on November 9th, you'll be in the brewery. What is that, Dunner Brewery? And that's November the 9th, correct?
Yeah, Dunedin. It's spelled D-U-N-E-D-I-N. Dunedin Brewery.
Okay.
In Dunedin Brewery in Dunedin, Florida. That's up in the Central Florida area near Orlando.
And so will you all be performing songs off the CD that your latest release, which was Respect the Blues? Is that the songs you all be performing, or will you be doing a mixture of the album before that, Brandon's Blues? So you had the Brandon CD, Respect the Blues CD. Is it a mixture when you all put on the show?
Yes, we do. We do a mixture. And then we also do, popular cover tunes. It depends on what audience we're playing for. Because I have a lead singer, Dottie Kelly, that does a lot of, Etta James and Aretha Franklin and stuff like that. But primarily when we go off on out of town tours, we basically do the Joey Gilmore recording stuff, recorded it.
Mr. Gilmore, right now what I want to do, we're approaching the end of your interview, but what I want to do at this time, I want to give you the opportunity to say anything you would like, man. Give any shout-outs, give any thank yous, any gems you want to drop on our listening audience. It's always beautiful to talk to one of our elders, man, just to sit here and listen to you, get some gems, get some wisdom. I really appreciate that. Again, anything, myself, celebrity consultant Valerie Denise Jones, anything we can do for you, we can help you try to get to the next level, please contact her. Let us know, man, and anything that we can do, we'll try to be able to do it for you, man, and make your dream come to life and assist you on your journey. So at this time, any shouts out, any final words, you can do that at that time, but please make sure, very important, you give your contact information, social media, any purchase links to the music that all the blues fans can go out there, support, and purchase the music. There's two CDs out there, maybe more, but I do know Brandon's Blues is out there, and Respect the Blues is out there, because I myself downloaded Respect the Blues right there on iTunes. All you got to do is type in Joey Gilmore Band, Joey Gilmore Band, and it'll pop up. Hey, download it, show the brother some love. You know what I mean? Hey, Mr. Gilmore, you got it.
Hey, thank you very much. And the first thing I would like to do is I'd like to thank Ms. Valerie and yourself for allowing me to speak to the audience and allow me to get some exposure on your show. We appreciate that so very highly. And my next shout out will be to my manager, my newly discovered manager. I don't know which one of us, he discovered me or I discovered him, but Mr. Flynn Mobley is in the building with us right now. And the new artists, the young people, my strong urgence to you and advice is to make sure, try to make, before you go out and give yourself away, give your talent away, make sure that you have someone that's got your back, a good manager or a good agent. Because I've known some bad managers in my time and bad agents and people that don't do, but somebody that you trust that will have your best interest at heart. Because I found out very sadly, sad to say, over the years, I've given away so much music, and wherein, but I have no regrets, because I learned from them, from the mistakes, and I also can survive. I have survived enough to be able to pass on information to other artists and young artists that are trying to aspire to be something. And so that way I will end my say, but maybe Mr. Flynn might have something to say for you. Would you like for Mr. Flynn Mobley to have something to say?
Mr. Flynn can come in and say whatever he would like to say, and then toss it back to you. Make sure before you do leave, but before you do toss it to Flynn, though, don't forget to give you contact information. But do you have time to take a question or comment from any callers? Because we do have callers on the line. I do want to at least get one of the callers in to be able to speak with you. Do you have time,
okay,
to answer before you go?
Yes, if we have time to give the contact information for Mr. Flynn, Mr. Mobley.
Yes, sir. We'll make sure that we'll give Mr. Flynn Mobley time to give his contact information and let the people know what he does as well. But right now, if you don't mind, can we go ahead and open up the line? You take a question before we toss it to Mr. Mobley?
Yes, you can. Yes, you may. Go ahead.
All right, caller 323, caller 323. I believe it's Ali. Champ, you are now on the line. Welcome to Big Exclusive. Talking to Mr. Joey Gilmore of the Joey Gilmore Band. What is your question, concern, or comment, sir? You got it. Let's get it.
Oh, man, I thought my number was 858. I don't know. Maybe they got me 323. This is Rev Ali. How you doing, Philo the Great? How you doing, Mr. Gilmore? All I want to say to you, man, is when I was a young kid back in the 70s, I used to listen to Richard Pryor, and he used to say, "Boy, don't you get caught on Mr. Gilmore's property." And I just wanted to say that to you, man.
Well, thank you. I remember that one.
As soon as I heard your name, Mr. I'll be saying Mr. Gilmore all the time. Anytime anybody referred to somebody acting stupid on somebody's property, I said, "Boy, you don't want to get caught on Mr. Gilmore's property."
Okay.
So I love you. I love you, man. I speak on you all the time in the spirit, you know. The Most High continue to lead and bless you, sir. Thank you so much for all that you've done for yourself and for music. You know what I'm saying? And just for the people that's around you that you inspire. So thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. That's wonderful. Thank you again.
Amen.
Yeah, indeed. Ali, that's one of our avid supporters. Ali, man, I really appreciate you supporting the show, man. Hope everything is going well, man, over there where you at. You are the champ. Indeed. So, Mr. Gilmore, I'm going to toss it back to you at this time. You can go ahead and finish giving your shouts out, giving your words, your social media, and then once you do that, then we can toss it to Mr. Mobley, or you can toss it to Mr. Mobley now, and we can bring you back at the end and you make your final words. You are our guest. I'm going to leave that decision up to you, but at this time, you got it. Let's get it.
Okay, I will give it to Mr. Mobley right now.
Let's go. Let's welcome Mr. Flynn Mobley to the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you. First of all, I want to echo what Joy said to you earlier, to you and Valerie. Thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity to come on and share Joy's story. A wonderful person. He has a lot of talent. He has a lot more talent to share with the world. And just thank you again so much for allowing us this opportunity. There are some great things coming moving forward for Mr. Gilmore. We've got a lot of things in work, and hopefully we can discuss those things with you in future shows at another time. My contact information is as follows, and this is how you will be able to reach and schedule shows for Joy Gilmore. It can be reached at, my email is business the word business, at vlfmgt.com. Again, that's business at vlfmgt.com. And my Instagram is at vlfmgt. If you go to my website, you'll find all of my information there. You'll find Mr. Gilmore's information there as well. And we're just looking forward to giving Mr. Gilmore a better platform and to allow him to provide the audience with some good music and very talented music, and he has an extraordinary band. So we just look forward to moving forward to working with you all. Ms. Valerie has been a very supportive person. Been working with Valerie now for almost a year, and she is an extraordinary person. And thank you again for all that you're doing and allowing us to be on today. At this time, I'm going to give you back to Mr. Gilmore, unless you have any questions for me.
Yeah, before you go, first of all, in Valerie's absence, I do want to say thank you for those kind words. And it's for myself. Thank you. And also, you're welcome. That's what this platform is here for, is to help people that look like me, you and Mr. Gilmore, get their story out. You know what I mean? A lot of times there's not a lot of platforms that will open up their doors to allow such things to happen. But me and Valerie, we made it a point to do that. And so this is our way of giving back, showing love, paying homage, whatever the case may be. So just know yourself, Mr. Gilmore, you got a place to come if you choose to utilize our edifice, our platform. You can always come. So with that being said, man, thank you again, and you're welcome.
Thank you as well. I'm going to pass you back over to Mr. Gilmore now.
All right.
Okay. All right. I'm back.
All right, Mr. Gilmore. So, again, any final words, and make sure you get your contact information, any purchase links where the people can purchase the music and they can go out there and do so, you got it. Let's get it.
All right. Thank you. I'm on what then? Oh, you're talking about like Spotify. Yeah, Spotify. What's that other thing?
I do know you on iTunes, because that's where I downloaded the music from.
iTunes,
the Respect the Blues is on iTunes, Apple Music. So I do know you there. I do know you on Spotify. And if you're on Spotify and iTunes, I'm quite sure you're on anywhere that they sell music digitally. So you all go out there, look it up. Anywhere they sell music digitally, you can find Mr. Gilmore there. iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, anywhere they sell music digitally, please go out there and show some love, support him, especially if you're a blues fan. If you're not a blues fan, download and let your mom and daddy hear, your grandmama, your granddaddy hear. But indeed, the blues is a genre, one of the forefather genres of music. So the blues, Mr. Gilmore, the website. Go ahead and get that website so people can go visit the website and check out some of the music, check out some of the merch that you have on the website. You got it. Let's get it.
All right. Yeah, one note I'd like to make. Blues is one of the most misunderstood genres of music there is, because a lot of people think all blues is sad and mopey and about hard times, and they don't really know there's blues has so many colors. There's so many colors to blues. I mean, you can do so much with blues, and that's why I'm not just making this up. All of the popular music in America came from the blues. And if everybody knew that, they wouldn't be so closed-minded to when you say blues, because you get a lot of people like that that you run across. So if you can just open up your mind and go explore more into blues, you'll find out it's a lot more to blues than what people write it up to be.
And I must second that, because me being from Memphis, W.C. Handy, you've seen W.C. Handy, but when I did my research for this show, I learned a lot about the blues. I learned that not only did we have a father of the blues, but we got a mother of the blues, the first blues singers, Ma Rainey. Ma Rainey, when she was singing, one of her people in her band and her horn section was Louis Armstrong. You know what I'm saying? So these things, and Ma Rainey, she was born Gertrude Pridgett, P-R-I-D-G-E-T-T. She was born in 1886 in Columbus, Georgia. And she got her start performing with her parents. They were a traveling musical act. And she'd been on stage from the ages at 12, and she used to travel, and things changed for her after a show in Clarksdale, Mississippi, when Gertrude heard a young woman singing a moving song about a lost love. And she took that and flipped it and learned it and blew up and became the mother of the blues, Marvin.
Okay.
So just doing my research, getting prepared for this show, because I enjoy the blues, because I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. B.B. King, you know, we got B.B. King famous. That's one of our famous blues singers, B.B. King. And he played that guitar, just like you mentioned, playing that guitar. So when we have these things, it hits home with me. It resonates, because it is, like you say, it is many colors to the blues besides sad stories. The blues can dance. You can leave a juke joint, what they used to call the juke joint. You can leave the juke joint sweating because you've been dancing to the blues all night long. You know what I mean? So, yes, indeed, sir, I do second that. I do appreciate you being here, sharing your story with us, sharing the blues with us. And, again, anything that myself, the lovely celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones, anything we can do to support you on your journey, sir, get with Valerie, have your management get with Valerie, and we can talk behind the scenes and see what we can come up with to assist you on your journey. Is that right?
All right. That sounds wonderful. I appreciate that so much from you guys.
Well, again, appreciate you for stopping through, taking time out to be here. I'm going to give you your day back at this time, but before you leave, I have to give you a round of applause. So all my loved ones out there, put your hands together for Mr. Joey Gilmore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. No problem, no problem. So that was Mr. Gilmore. Again, please, 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 please go to his website. Please visit his website. It is Joey, J-O-E-Y, the Blues Man, TheBluesMan.com. JoeyTheBluesMan.com. Go out there, visit the website. Go ahead and be updated on what Mr. Gilmore has going on, because they may just be coming to a city near you. Hey, it's been a great show. I have enjoyed myself once again. Another big exclusive. It was sort of odd because I didn't have my partner with me, the lovely Valerie Denise Jones, but I know she's still here in the building. You know what I mean? So with that being said, please go out there and follow her. Go to her website, Miss Valerie Denise Jones, or ValerieDeniseJones.com, to go ahead and stay up to date on what we're doing. I am CeeLo the Great. You can follow me on all social media sites but access it from the website, philothegreat.com. That's P-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T, philothegreat.com. And you can get the social media links from the website. So, again, it's been wonderful. It's been great. As always, get with it or quit it. Barbecue and me is do something, we'll some, want something, do something, don't. And if you got a problem with anything that I have said today, you always got two choices. Either check it or respect it. I'm out of here. Gone. Valerie!
Big Exclusives, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern. Celebrities, music, motivation, gossip, and good stuff. All up in your ear. Call 929-477-1167 or visit ValerieDeniseJones.com. Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to subscribe to our channels.
Good job. Very good job. I tell you.